prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, help me carry your message today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I think this is the first time that I have not reviewed what we're going to cover before the meeting today. And let's see how it goes. Let's see how the Lord speaks to me. We're going to finish a vision for you. We're going to cover the powerful final page on 164, but we're starting on 163. That's where he ended, bottom of 162, the last line. And then I'll leave time for discussion. And then tonight I'm going to do something unique. I'm going to talk about recovery from alcoholism. I'm going to talk about how when I put myself in God's hands, things happened better than anything I could have planned. And I'm going to go through what I've learned about the big book and what I've experienced through doing these meetings. So I hope it'll be helpful. People don't want to hear it, they'll leave. Right? It's unique. I'm going to talk about the steps and what a few brief things about what happened in my life to bring me where I am today. And it's July 10th, 2021. And when they ask you to do something like that, I've thought back to all the things that have happened from February 8, 2002 and all the things that led up to that. And I'm not going to talk about that today, but the things that have happened in my life and to be here today. And if you're not grateful and you're in recovery, then you haven't experienced the power of God. Doesn't mean bad things don't happen, right, guys? But we don't, we get through those because that's life. At the bottom of page 162, it says, thus we grow and so can you, though you be but one man with this book in your hand. So that's why they wrote this book. People say big book thumpers. It's a derogatory term. But was Bill W. a big book thumper? Probably. Dr. Bob? I don't know what it is. I don't even know what that means. But the big book is the textbook. And it's their testament on which they did. Does anybody study scriptures? Well, scriptures is a testimony. It's the New Testimony, the Old Testimony and the New Testimony, about God's plan for salvation. And this book text is a plan of my salvation from a hopeless condition of mind and body. That's what it is. And they wrote this so that they could share what they've done, so you could do it, you could take it to someone else. And they had no idea what was going to happen. And we believe in hope. This was their belief in hope. It contains all you will need to begin. To begin what? Your journey to God and taking somebody else on their journey to God. And think how powerful that is. And it's been true for me. We know what you are thinking. You're saying to yourself, I'm jittery alone. I couldn't do that. I hear that a lot. I can't sponsor. I may make them worse. How can that happen? How can you make an alcoholic worse? I mean, they're dying. And or I won't do it right, and this and that. And that's just excuses for you don't want to do it. And then ask yourself, if you're not sponsoring, why aren't you? Why haven't you found someone to help? Because it'll help you. And if you've been helped, it's a payback for what you've been given. And then they can pay it back to someone else. And the book in the beginning and was the testimony, and the book and the fellowship were together. And now we have a whole fellowship. I've been going to some discussion meetings, and you know, you don't hear the steps. You don't hear the message in the book. That's not good or bad, but then if you're a new person, how do we help them? How do we help them find this? I have someone who's going to a 12-week treatment, Zoom meetings so that they can recover from alcoholism because they had a DUI and they had to get an evaluation and they had 10 points. And if you get 10 points, you got to go to the 12 session that will. And the person told the lady, well, I go to AA. She says, well, that won't treat this. What you have, this will treat it. So the last $40 session where there were 20 people. Boy, I wish I'd thought of that. $800 on Zoom. They did their task was to decide that if they're on a desert island and they're stranded together, what they would need to survive. And he was proud of some lady asked, well, what does this have to do with my drug and alcohol addiction? So I'll never finish this chapter. It's not happening. All right, stop it. They're starting. But you can't, I mean, tonight it's going to go on for hours. I'll just be there. No, I got it timed. I don't care. I'll just quit. But you can, it says you can. You forget that you have just now tapped the source of power much greater than yourself. So here's the deal. You have a relationship with God, and God will help you carry the message. You don't have to carry the message. God will help you carry the message. God is your director, and you've tapped into that source of power. To duplicate with such backing what we have accomplished, and here's all that's required. Willingness, we talk about that all the time. And I didn't look at this patience. That's something that I have to work on. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I need to work on patience. And I have to be patient with the new person. That they have their own abilities and their own willingness, and I have to be patient, and then and labor. You have to do the work. No labor, no result. And if you're not willing, you're not going to do it. If you're not willing, ask God to make you willing. We talk about that several times in the book. We know of an AA member who was living in a large community. He had lived there but a few weeks when he found that the place probably contained more alcoholics per square mile than any city in the country. I tell you, that would be a contest, wouldn't it? This was only a few days ago at this writing. The authorities were much concerned. He got in touch with a prominent psychiatrist who had undertaken certain responsibilities for the mental health of the community. The doctor proved to be able and exceedingly anxious to adopt any workable method of handling the situation. Why? Because doctors don't have any answer for this. They'll go see the patient, and the guy's in with, you know, vomiting up blood and swollen liver and all that. And he tells them they're going to quit, so they're happy. And they leave the room. And I said to the nurse, this guy's not going to quit. She looked at me, well, he told me he was. I said, well, yeah, he could probably pass a lie detector test right now, but it's probably not going to happen. And so they don't know what to do with us, and they send everybody to AA, which is great, and then we have to be ready to carry this message to them. So we inquired, what did our friend have on the ball? So ask yourself, what do you have? Our friend proceeded to tell him, and with such good effect that the doctor agreed to a test among his patients and certain other alcoholics from a clinic which he attends. Arrangements were also made with the chief psychiatrist of a large public hospital to select still others from where? The stream of misery which flows through that institution. And that stream of misery still exists. I see it. I see it when I go to the meetings and I see all these people and there. You can see there the desperation on their faces, and you can see it. And we have to be able to reach out to them. So our fellow worker will soon have friends galore. Some of them may sink and perhaps never get up. But if our experiences are criteria, more than half of those approached will become fellows of AA. And I don't know anything about the percentage, but it's pretty low. Especially nowadays, I think it's much lower with the drugs and alcohol. It's really, really, really a bad situation out there for these young people trying to get off those drugs. And when a few men in the city have found themselves and have discovered the joy of helping others to face life again, there will be no stopping until everyone in that community has its opportunity to recover if he can or will. Now, this is really a powerful line. So when a few men in the city have found themselves, notice that. That's like the Good Samaritan, parable of the prodigal son. He's in the pig pen. He's lost everything. He wants to eat what the pigs are eating. He says that would be good enough. And then it says he came to himself. So what time was it? Was it like 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon? But where was he on that Friday? He was in the same place. And he came to himself, and I think that's God. He came to himself. He could see the truth of his situation. We talk about that all the time. Can you see the truth? I'm going to talk about tonight. There's only insanity or death, or live a spiritual life. Live a spiritual life, not talk about it. Live it. And who cannot and will not be able to do this simple program? Those who are constitutionally incapable of seeing that there are only two doors. They can't see the truth of their situation. They come to AA and they know things are really bad, but they're not completely defeated, that they have no way out of this. And that's what it took for me. And I have to stay that way. And then once you've done that self and you discover the joy of helping others to face life again, there will be no stopping until everyone in that town has had this opportunity to recover if he can or will. And then we talk about cannot or will not. And I really think everybody can and will if they're capable of really being honest about the situation. And that means to completely have your ego defeated and complete deflation of yourself. And that's hard. It took a lot to get me where I was on February 2002. It took a lot of work. People want to know how bad it is. How can you describe how bad it was at the end? I mean, how can you describe your emotional pain? I'm going to tell him tonight. The only thing I know is that Cliff Starbuck told John Grace that he had a new guy, and he is a mess. I said, this guy is a mess. So there you go. Cliff was pretty smart, and but God bless him. I'm going to talk a little bit about him tonight. That was my first sponsor. And then, you know, I can't stop doing the meetings. I talk about it, but it's just something God wants me to do. And the only one who really knows what I've gone through to do these meetings here is my wife. You know, getting up, making rounds in the hospital, running over here, getting the handouts, making sure it was opened, and the 3 meetings a week. And I did it if I was alive and in town. If I was on vacation, I didn't do it. And it's meant a lot to me. Still, you may say, but I will not have the benefit of contact with you who write this book. We cannot be sure. Now, I have had the benefit of the people who wrote this book. You've had it too, right, Stu? Everybody, because we're studying it. And we have the benefit of the people who wrote this book. God will determine that. God will determine that. So you must, I love this, you must remember that your real reliance is always upon Him. I'll say it again. My real reliance is always upon Him. Hi, dear. We're on page 164. It's the best page in the book. So glad you could come. I have to remember that all the time. Who was my reliance on before I came in here? Me. And what does it say? Self-reliance failed me. I can still remember the first time I read that. I said, wow. And I read it again. And I could see it. I don't know, there's some spiritual moments people have, but I could see my whole life was trying to rely on me to make everything just so okay so I would feel good about myself. And I could see the truth of it. And it says we have to live on a different way, the basis of relying and trusting upon God, page 68, a different basis. He will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. And so you can create the fellowship you crave. And notice it's not the fellowship that they have, it's the fellowship you crave. What do you crave? Now, I heard a speaker say the people you hang around with will be the person you're going to become. Who are you hanging around with? You're hanging around with people who are doing the deal or not. And so that made a lot of sense to me. And remember, in the beginning, they were all studying scripture. They were all trying to practice the 6 steps of the Oxford group. They were trying to grow in obedience to their Lord. And so they were all together in that. If you didn't want to do that, then they really didn't want to have anything to do with you. It was a waste of their time. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Suggestive only. But it's the only suggestion they have. And so you don't, it's a suggestion. If you have a hopeless condition of mind and body, then this is what you might want to do. Now, if you don't want to do it, then that's your fine. Like Mickey B says, have a party. But like Sandy Beach says, if you don't have a way and you've tried everything else, you might want to try this and do it. It doesn't mean, you know, like going and reading the book with people once a week. It means really studying the book and doing the directions in it. I only get what I do. If I don't do anything, I don't get anything. Now, what's happened to me is by doing these studies forever, I have the book almost memorized, I have a good mind that comes from God, is that it comes to me when I'm separated and I say, well, gee, you know, you're in fear. What a waste of time. Who are you relying on, Michael? I love to judge people. I don't know if I've done it yet this morning, but it's early. We got time. But you know, that's such a waste of time, and it separates me from God, and I hate it. And I hate it because then I'm playing God, and I don't want to do that. And suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. But here's the key. This has really been a lot to me. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Constantly, and that's what's happened to me. Over the years, God has disclosed more to me. And how does he disclose more to you? You're open to hearing him. You're opening to hearing God. You don't have a hardened heart. You're open-minded. You're willing. You're a seeker. I wish I was a better seeker, but I'm better than I was. And here's how you do that. They tell you how he's going to disclose more to you. Ask him in your morning meditation. Notice him is a capital H. Ask, that's a prayer. In my morning meditation, what can I do each day for the man who is still sick? Doesn't say alcoholic. And I ask God every morning, who will you put in my life today that I can help? Who will you put in my life today that I can help? And so that's one of the things I do. And you can always do something for someone. If you're open-minded to it, God will put them in. Remember, it says in page 84, when you're separating from God and you're living in self and you're getting into resentment, fear, or dishonesty, or anger, or self-centeredness, it says we ask God to remove it at once. It says we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone I can help. So if I'm with God seeking all day, he'll put people in my life to help that day. It could be somebody just opening the door at the grocery store. It could be helping somebody do something. It could be somebody you see at a meeting. It could be in your home with your wife or husband, being kind and loving to them. The answers will come if my own house is in order. The answers from who? God will come to me if my own house is in order, if it's free from the bondage. I wrote free from the bondage to my wife. How did I write that? Oh my. Was that a... That's the... Would you stop, Mark? There you go. Freedom from the bondage to self. I didn't really write that. I made that up. She won't listen, don't worry. She doesn't listen. Free from the bondage to myself. My house is in order. And how do you get your house in order? It says that on page 77. We're trying to put our house in order, but that's not our real purpose. But how do I put my house in order? What is your house? It's your mind. I have to put my mind in order with God every day through steps 1, 2, and 3 and surrendering to him. Remember that my real dependence is always upon him. Then I get straight with this screwball mind of mine with 4, 5, 6, and 7 all day long, watching for my character defects, watching for selfishness, self-centeredness, fear, asking God to remove my character defects, having the spiritual checklist in my head all the time and saying, oh, I'm on the wrong side. Make me loving, kind, patient, tolerant, considerate, compassionate. And then how do I put myself in order with the world? Well, that's steps 8 and 9 with people. So you lose fear of people. There's nobody you're afraid to see walk through the door because you'd make amends to them. And then as you start your life, if you're hurting someone, you make amends that day. It says in at night, if there's still owe one, you make it the next day. So you lose your fear of people and the world. See to it that, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. And so you can't carry the message if you don't have one and you haven't had it. And that's the other thing. We have all these people trying to help each other and they're doing the best they can, but they don't have the answers and haven't done it, so they can't transmit this. And the fellowship is good, but the fellowship won't keep you sober. I was thinking, I haven't heard 90 meetings in 90 days for a while. And that was really popular, and it makes a lot of sense. Because if you go to 90 meetings in 90 days, it means you've surrendered something, right? But then the idea is, what happens on day 91? You know, are you cured? No. But hopefully by 90 meetings in 90 days, you'll find somebody who will help you through the spiritual path. It's certainly not a bad idea. But the idea that anything other than your relationship with God is going to give you a power to live is not going to work. And the only way I know to get that right relationship is by working these steps. And these steps are not just for alcoholics. These are the basic Christian principles in the New Testament of how you can stay in the world of the Spirit. And so how do you do the things that you're told to do in the Scriptures? If you work these steps, you'll be doing them. And it says, see to it that your relationship with Him is right. Well, how do you see to that? Are you doing 10-11 every day? Are you praying and inventorying and meditating? Are you inventorying at night? Are you inventorying the day when you're separated from God? Do you have someone you call? Are you carrying a vision of God's will into all your activities? Well, that's complicated. What is that? Well, that's this, to be His personality. God's will is for me to be loving, patient, kind, honest, considerate, humble, acting and taking action to help people, patient, tolerance, forgiveness, love and concern for others, self-forgiveness. Not that complicated. Modesty, self-forgiveness, trust, faith. And am I carrying that? Now remember in AA, it's how you be determines what you do. We hear a lot, I'm going to do the next right thing. That made a lot of sense to me until I understood that it makes no sense. Because I don't know how to do the right thing. And it says on page 87 that we ask God throughout the day to show us what the next right action is. I'm with God. God will show me the next right action. I took a lot of the next right actions, and I made a mess of my life. That's how I got to where I was on February 8th. I did the next right thing that Michael wanted to do, and it wasn't that I had the wrong manager, and I didn't realize my selfishness, self-centeredness. I didn't understand. And so, see to it that your relationship with Him is right. And you have to do it all the time. Remember, we're not cured. We have a daily reprieve contingent on what? Our spiritual condition. And how do I react in a situation determines upon my fit spiritual condition. When I go to I went to the store, and there the lady was again. She had a Walgreens reward card. She wanted to use 23 of the $25, and then she wanted to get the $2 back. And the young girl there was rolling her eyes. I thought she would have a heart attack. And of course, I've got two items, and there's nobody else there. And I said, Lord, this is it. This is the test today. And I said, well, I'll go buy some candy. And this and that, but you see, it's just, that's the way it was. I didn't have to get upset. God bless her. I was going to give her $5. I probably should have. But you see what it is? That you never know. And it sounds like a silly thing, but alcoholics used to get upset about things like that. Because we're so wonderful. We shouldn't have to wait. They should know how to do it, and blah, blah, blah. Maybe I'm the only one that's really ill, but I know Mark's like that, so. There you go, I got back at him. City, your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you, and countless others. If great events come to pass for you, great events have come to pass for me. I got to watch Brian a few weeks ago. I can't tell you what a wonderful thing that was. That when I know where Brian was 11 years ago, and to see him walk down, that was a spiritual thing. I mean, I was really emotional. I get emotional, and I was ready to cry. It was just powerful. Happiness, tears of happiness and joy. Talk about a miracle. For me, it was a miracle for me. I see other people in the room that I've walked through. This is the great fact for us, not G and F. The great fact. God is a great fact. God is the truth. And it says, and what's page 25? I have to remember that tonight. So somebody remind me of that when I talk about the great fact. It says on page 25, there is a solution. Notice this page. You think I've gone through it a million times? And it's all got all these notes, but on one side on page 24 is we're gonna die. It says, the fact is that most alcoholics, for reason yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. We're screwed. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We were without defense against the first drink forever. I cannot bring into my consciousness with sufficient force the memory to say no, bad idea if I'm an alcoholic. So what's the only way you can do that is the next page. It says there's a solution. Look, I don't know if they did this on purpose, but here you're going to die. And it says at the bottom of 24, we're beyond human aid. And then the next page, it says there is a solution. And what's the great fact is this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences, which has revolutionized my whole attitude towards life, towards my fellows, and towards God's universe. A fundamental change in my attitude, my point of view. When I was in the store at Walgreens, I said, I'm with you, God. I'm going to practice love and tolerance. I'm with you. And then what's the central fact of my life today is the absolute certainty that my creator, not the group, not the sponsor, not my wife, that my creator has entered into my heart and life in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has begun to accomplish those things for us which I could never do by myself. Unbelievable. And that can happen all day long in 6 and 7. I can realize I'm separated from you, God. I need to get back to you. Because when I'm with God, everything's okay. And so let's get back to 164. We are going to finish. Now here it is. Brian loves this. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Abandon yourself. Abandon completely. Give up completely on everything. Don't hold on to anything. How do you get ready to abandon yourself completely? Pain. How much pain are you in? How miserable you are. And you have to confess the truth to yourself. You have to abandon yourself. I wrote a whole bunch of things here. Give up completely everything. Do something without reluctance. I said, abandon yourself to God as you understand him. And remember, you can only understand God the way you understand him in the beginning. Even if you're studying the New Testament, the reason to study the New Testament, we're told, is the more you study it, the more knowledge of God you have. It gets revealed to you. And so if you want to know God, you need to study his word. And if you want a relationship with God, you need to study this book, so that you know how to get that relationship and then keep it with the scripture. The two books go hand in hand. Admit your faults to him, that's step 4 and 5, and to your fellows. And then that's 6 and 7 all day long. So is that step 3, abandoning yourself to God completely. Remember, it says a warning after the third step prayer. Remember, you must give yourself, abandon yourself completely to Him, or nothing's going to happen. It says, warning, we thought well before taking this step, making sure I'm ready, that I could at last abandon myself utterly to Him. And then it says, this is only the beginning, and it's a vital and crucial step, but will have no permanent effect. You can do that, abandon yourself utterly all the time. But until you face and be rid of the things that are blocking you in your head from God, He can't work. And in the beginning, I had a lot blocking me from God. I didn't even know it. I knew it was them. Did anybody have them when you came in? Them. And it was, and I always had good motives. Did anybody else have good intentions? My motives are always good, and it was them. And now I realize my motives were not good, and it wasn't them at all. They were fine. Clear away the wreckage of your past, 8 and 9. Give freely of what you find. Give it freely. And join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And they didn't put Holy Spirit, but capital S is Spirit. I like to read it, Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And the reason I say that, people don't like it, I don't care. The Oxford group was fundamental Protestant Christians who were studying how to be obedient to their Lord. And they had certain steps to try to grow in the likeness and image of their Lord. And that's what AA was based on, and how they could live with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. You can believe in something and not allow that power to work. God will let us separate from Him. Not completely, but He'll let us go our own way and we don't feel good. It says that on page 88, this is how He disciplines us. When I remove myself from God in my own world, and I'm going to talk about that tonight, then God, I'm miserable. And God will let me stay there till I've had enough. It's the prodigal son all day long. And it says, we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. So that's the fellowship that they had in the beginning. It was a fellowship of people seeking God together. People who were committed to their relationship with their Creator. It doesn't have to be Christian anymore. It can be whatever you want. But people are committed together to seeking God. I always felt good after Saturday mornings when I would do this meeting, because I feel like I was with a bunch of people who were really trying to seek God together. And then I would really feel good, not about anything I've done, but about, I just felt okay. I felt good about, felt close to God. It's hard to describe when that happens. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. They're with us today. We wouldn't have this if they weren't with us. And think of all the people that have helped you, who are here today with you. They may not be alive, but they were here. And even the people you couldn't help in AA, they helped you. And I can't even name all the people that have helped me. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge to walk slowly with difficult steps. The road of happy destiny. Now it's capital R-H-D, road of happiness destiny. So it's the path to God. That's what you could call their path, was the road of happy destiny. I guarantee you the road of happy destiny will work better for you than the road of my happy destiny. That got me a wristband. That brought me to my knees. So make sure you're on the right road. That's the other thing. We tell everybody, you know, we do a lot of chanting and all, but what you want to really be is on the right road. And the only road map I know is the book. I don't worship the book. It's not scripture, but it is a treasure map to God. And I believe God inspired the people who wrote this. May God bless you and keep you, - until then. Now we could talk about what's the until then, until we all meet together or until you do it. It could be a lot of things. But it really is powerful. Anybody think this is powerful? It really is. And with that, I'm going to actually shut up. Thank you, everybody.